So I like to say diversity and inclusion, the benefit of diversity and inclusion is just more. More of everything, more ideas, more revenue, more success in your organization.
Back with you, friends. This is Future Proof, and I am your humble host, Bill Sheridan. Time to talk about diversity, okay? Diversity and inclusion, and why? Well, because really the future of this profession depends on it. And I know what you're thinking, a little dramatic, don't you think, Bill? Well, not at all, for a couple of reasons. First of all, there's the right reason. This is the reason that says, you know, this profession should look like the public that we serve. It's the reason that says every person in this profession deserves the same opportunities as every other person in this profession. It's the reason that says a profession that invites the best thinking of everyone, regardless of race, religion, politics, gender, any other differentiator, stands heads and shoulders above everyone else. We're better united than we are apart. That's the right reason. And then there's also the bottom line reason, because let's face it, most things in this profession come down to money, right? So what does the bottom line say? Well, it says stuff like this. It says that 67% of job candidates want to join a diverse team. And I'm guessing you want an in when it comes to finding top talent. Am I right? Of course I'm right. It says that 57% of your current employees want to prioritize diversity. It says that inclusive companies enjoy 2.3 times higher cash flow than their competitors. It says that 35% of diverse companies outperform homogeneous ones. It says that Josh Burson found that inclusive companies are 1.7 times more likely to be innovation leaders in their market. And it says that diverse companies are 70% more likely to report that their company has captured a new market. Should I go on? I mean, I could. There's a ton of research about this stuff. I mean, it says basically that having a more diverse and inclusive workforce makes you a business force to be reckoned with. And Kim Drumgo knows all of this better than most people. She's the director of diversity and inclusion at the AICPA, and she's our guest on this week's episode of Future Ready. So we know the stats are telling us that diversity and inclusion are good for business. How does that play out in the accounting and finance world? Well, let's start here. Research has indicated that more diverse and inclusive teams have a larger talent pool in which to find new talent. They use it as a recruitment tool for other top talent. Okay, they also have access to a wider array of clients, which leads to more revenue, and they're more innovative because they have access to more ideas and deep thinking. So there you have it, the business case for diversity and inclusion. But don't take my word for it. Let's hear from the expert. Here's Kim Drumgo. So, Kim, thanks so much for joining me in what's becoming, I think you'll agree, a crucial conversation in this profession. Let's start by defining our terms, because in my mind, diversity and inclusion are kind of two separate things. Would you agree? I mean, how do you see those two things?
Absolutely. You know, Bill, I definitely agree that they're very different. And oftentimes what we'll see is people use diversity and inclusion synonymously, and actually they're very, very different. So diversity means, you know, just who we are. It's the different dimensions that each of us represent. And, you know, that could be from race, generation, the cultures, our ideologies, even our personalities represent that diversity that each of us have, each of our unique selves that we possess. And one of my pet peeves, actually, is when we talk about diversity or we say we're looking for a diverse candidate, it's often assumed that the white guys are excluded. And what the definition of diversity is that it includes everyone. So everyone is diverse, no matter who you are or where you're from. You represent a unique quality and a unique aspect of yourself. And so that's what diversity means. And then we also have the definition of inclusion. And inclusion is really what you do with that diversity. What do we do with that difference? You know, inclusion is an action. Diversity is who we are. So it's really what we do with that difference and how we use it and how we maximize the differences that we have around the table. And that's the, you know, difference between diversity and inclusion. But I wanted to also add another definition there, and that's the definition of belonging, right? So we have who we are and what we do. Who we are being diversity, what we do is that inclusion, that's the action that we do. But belonging is really about how we feel, and how we feel not only in our communities, but how we feel in our work environments. And so I think that's also very important for us to consider as we're talking about the definitions of diversity and inclusion. I'd say we just add the word belonging as well, because that's the piece that keeps people in their organizations. That's the retention component of all of the work that we're doing around diversity and inclusion.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, and one I hadn't really stopped to consider before. Is one of those any more important than the others?
Yeah, one, you can't have one without the other, right? Mm-hmm. So you can have inclusion, and you can have inclusion of a very homogeneous organization. You can have diversity, but not inclusion. You can have diversity, inclusion, but there's not a sense of belonging. And so I don't think that there is one that's more important than the other. When you think about multidimensional individuals, you know, multidimensional teams, you're expanding to markets and to different market shares. When you have this one-dimensional team, you get into this group think, and the group, you know, the individuals in the group copy each other and pretty much in the wrong direction. So it's really important that we do have all three or all two, diversity and inclusion. And I think we begin to get to that belonging as we're getting good at diversity and inclusion.
So I don't know if you can give me an idea numbers wise about where we stand in terms of this issue at this point. Are there any like key metrics that you're watching from a diversity and inclusion point of view to tell us, you know, how the profession is doing at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll talk a little bit about two specific demographics that we're currently monitoring. And that would be around the women and then minorities. So I'll start with the women. And when we think about women and the leadership of women in the accounting profession, that has grown. It continues to grow. Our research indicates that women make up roughly half of the public accounting employees since the 1990s. Women continue to enroll in accounting programs, graduate from accounting programs, and you know, enter into the field at equally the same amount of same numbers as men. And so that's where we're doing good. We do find that with women, we're still behind when it comes to partnership levels. And so there's still work to do with women in leadership role and partner equity positions in the firm. When we look at minorities, that's a very different picture. But before I paint that picture, let me just set the stage. You know, we know men and women roughly represent half and half of the population. But when you think about underrepresented minorities, specifically to the Hispanic Latino population, they represent about 16%. African Americans represent approximately 13% of our overall population. Asians, 5%. And then we have two or more races at 3%. And that's the picture of the overall U.S. population. Mm-hmm. Comparatively speaking, we find that the number of enrollments and graduates and CPAs in the accounting profession is a very, very different picture. And so just taking a snapshot of the number of CPAs who are of Hispanic or Latino descent, it's about 3%. Or 2%. And when you look at the African Americans, it's 1%. Asian Americans, it's about 5%. And so we're really struggling to see the growth of African Americans, Latinos, and Asians getting their CPA. So that's one area where we know that we have a lot of work to do, and we continue to evaluate and test different programs to increase the numbers of minorities in the accounting profession specific to CPAs.
And any idea why we're continuing to struggle in those areas? I know you said we're making strides when it comes to women in the mm-hmm. profession. Why the continuing struggle with some of these other right. represented groups?
Yeah, well, we've evaluated the leaks in the pipeline, if you will, at each stage. So we've evaluated the the low enrollment. So the enrollment is probably the highest population of minorities that we see in the accounting pipeline, but it's not as high as it needs to be in order to sustain getting to that end result, which is the CPA and partnership level. What we've seen is that there's just a basic lack of communication and awareness around being an accountant for high school students and being exposed to the different career paths that exist for majoring in accounting. So that's one of the barriers that we're seeing in the early stages. Once we get to the graduation levels, we're seeing a lot of other majors competing for our students. And so we'll have students who begin in the accounting profession, but then see finance or any other business major more appealing because they're recognizing that in order to be, in order to obtain their CPA, they're going to have to go to that fifth year. So they're making a financial decision to go into a different area of study because they're recognizing early on that that to pursue their CPA is going to present a financial barrier. And they're not going to get to that level of income that they would if they switched to another business major. So we know that that's a barrier. But if they finish the accounting program and they're getting through that fifth year, they start their job, and they're really excited about being at their firm and doing the work, there's the battle between time and money in getting the CPA exam, because we all know that that's a commitment and it takes a lot of time to study for the CPA exam. And so even once you get past that, there's the barrier of, what I talked about earlier, the belonging, the hours, and, being able to adjust to this different culture. And so we've identified many of those barriers. And as the profession continues to evaluate this, we're looking at opportunities to maintain that momentum and provide that connection to individuals who are in this pipeline so that they see the value and the success without feeling like they're alone.
Why the focus on diversity and inclusion? I guess my question is, what are the benefits of making this a more, inclusive, diverse profession? What do we get out of this?
Right. And so when I look at, when we study the demographics quite a bit of the U.S. and compare that to our CPA numbers and our partner numbers, one of the things that we really know, and the census is telling us, is that the students, the youngsters, the kindergartners entering into school right now, it's, half and half, half underrepresented minorities and half white population. And one day we won't be saying underrepresented minorities. We will have another term for it because our students are becoming more diverse. And the benefit to the CPA profession is making sure that we're relevant to this diverse population coming into the workforce. Not only the workforce, but the clients that we serve. It's really important that we understand and represent the communities that we serve. Mm-hmm. So that's the demographics. Those are the numbers. But let's shift gears and talk about innovation and how innovation and financial and operational effectiveness come into play. I mentioned earlier, when we have homogeneous teams, we tend to think the same. We get into groupthink and we're not expanding our horizons and thinking outside of the box, where when you have diverse teams, heterogeneous teams, where people are from different backgrounds, different thought processes, we expand our ability to solve problems. We expand our ability to innovate. And so I like to say diversity and inclusion, the benefit of diversity and inclusion is just more of everything, more ideas, more revenue, more success in your organization.
Mm-hmm. So as a profession, I guess, or rather, as a professional within this profession, from an individual level or, even an organizational level, what should we be doing? I mean, what are some of the first steps that we can take toward, making this a more diverse and inclusive profession?
Right. You know, when I work with different firms, the first thing that I ask them to do is to take an assessment of their organization, not only just of the numbers, right? So what are your demographics look like? That's very important. But we also want to understand what the culture is like in your organization. So are there pockets of people that don't succeed or for some reason don't succeed, and really beginning to evaluate why that is, because no one firm is built the same and no one solution is going to help all of the firms. And so the first step is really to take a step back and evaluate what's going on in your organization. By looking at that, you can then create this picture of here's where we are, here's where we want to be, and so what are those gaps? And getting into that gap analysis, if you will, and understanding how to close some of those gaps. One of the things that we found is that once organizations do this, it's kind of like peeling back the onion. They didn't know that the layers were so, you know, that there were so many layers. And at each layer, you're pretty much uncovering information. And so we really recommend that firms take a step back and evaluate what's going on in their firm, understanding the culture, and really getting a good landscape, a good picture of where they are and where they want to be and why you want to go there. Oftentimes we'll see that, you know, the managing partner or the CEO just came back from an amazing conference and they said, D&I, diversity and inclusion is the way to go. We need to make sure that we have more diversity on our team. And so the mistake is that, you know, the recruiters go out and start recruiting diverse individuals into their organizations, only to find that these individuals don't stay that long. And what we're finding is that the reason is they haven't done enough work on the inside to create that level of attraction and retainability in the organization. So if you're recruiting a diverse team and your culture has been operating on this homogeneous level for, you know, years and years and years, there's got to be some homework and some shifts that need to happen in order for, you know, your recruiting initiative to turn into retention and to turn into promotion. So really understanding where you are, where you want to go, and taking the time to fix those potential problems that might turn into a revolving door when you start recruiting diverse talent. So those are the first things that I would just recommend that firms do. And the AICPA has tons of resources to help firms understand where they are, where they want to go, and how to get there.
Yeah, it's funny. The more you mention this idea of belonging and connection, mm-hmm. the more it really kind of resonates. I'm maybe halfway through this great book called The Culture Code. It's by Dan Coyle, and he makes that same argument that the best performing groups, organizations, whatever mm-hmm. it might be, are those in which their members feel a sense of connection or belonging to the group. It doesn't matter how educated they are or how smart they are. It's mm-hmm. about the connection between the people. And so I think that makes a lot of sense.
Well, you know, it's a basic human need. Yeah. I remember being in my Psych 101 class and we talked about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And the first need is basic shelter. The next one is safety. And the third level of need of the five is belonging, having a connection to the people around you. So it's not only it's not a nice to have. It is a requirement in order to have successful teams. That sense of belonging and connection is really, really important. And it's a basic human need.
Right. So some great tips for things that we can start doing in the same light. What should we stop doing? I mean, what kind of tradition-based practices are holding us back in this area, do you think?
I'm amazed at the number of leaders who come to me and say, Kim, we need to do something about our diversity numbers and our diversity in our organization, and we've got 6 months to do it. I can give you all the money you need. And we've got 6 months to do it. Uh-huh. And in my mind, that's like, you know, telling a woman to have a baby in 3 months, right? It's just impossible to change culture. I mean, and really, it is about changing culture, to your point. We need to stop expecting that change is going to happen overnight. And we need to really stop expecting that putting money, lots of money into this in a short period of time is going to be that magic bullet. And so my recommendation to stop doing those things is to recognize that, you know, culture change happens over, you know, culture that was established happened over a period of time. Mm-hmm. Culture change will also happen over a period of time, and it won't happen quickly. And so what we see is that, you know, we're going to try this for a year. A firm may try a new recruiting strategy for a year and they don't get their results, and then they bail on that and go to another one. Yep. So I would say stop thinking that we're going to see it early, but making sure that we're in this for the long haul. Mm-hmm. Sustainability is the key. If you can keep doing it, you will see the results eventually. So I would say my number one thing is just let's debunk the myth that it's going to happen overnight. Right. And I think we should stop, going after the numbers before we create that culture change. I think that we need to make the culture change and the shift first and then begin to recruit, because that sends the message then to a lot of your recruits that it was just window dressing. They're interested in diversity, but now that I get here, they're really not serious about it. So we're going to leave. And that then creates a bad reputation for that particular firm. Yeah. So I think we need to do our homework. We need to make sure that our environments are fertile for the growth of diversity before we go after the recruits so that we can retain them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me a little bit, and I this may not be a very apt analogy, I'm not sure, but back when everyone started doing social media, you know, and everyone had to do social media, and it was like, how do we do this and do it right and do it quickly? And it turns out that the idea isn't so much doing social media as it is to be more social, you know?
And so it's like
we have to stop looking at diversity inclusion as something we have to do and figure out how we can become just more diverse and inclusive, you know, as a...
Right, it's a way of life. That's right.
Exactly.
That's exactly
right. So, frankly, is our profession doing enough at this point, do you think? I mean, are we keeping up? What are your thoughts on where we stand and what the future looks like?
So before I answer this question, I'm going to, I have been on multiple panels with different professions. I've, been on a panel and discussions with the American Bar Association, with multiple STEM professions. And I have to tell you that we are not, the accounting profession is not alone in the challenge of D&I. Mm-hmm. All of the other professions are doing their part to encourage women and what we know today to be underrepresented minorities to pursue careers in their field. But, you know, I have to go back to, and they're all doing great summer program for, you know, K through 12. You know, I think all professions are putting forth as much as they can in terms of awareness, summer programs, leadership programs. But I think that all professions are missing the connection piece that we've talked so much about on this particular call. But I have to say that we're in line with a lot of what the other professions are doing. I think all of us need to step up. I think all of us need to think about this more creatively and in a more humanistic perspective. So really leveraging more of the humanity aspects versus the number aspects as we're looking to close the gap of diversity in each of our professions. And so once we begin to genuinely show our interest in these individuals, being emotionally invested as well as financially invested, and welcoming these new individuals into our profession, I think that's what's going to make the difference. And it's one person at a time. And it's one person working with one person, teams working together to make sure that we're showing that genuine interest in the people who are entering into our profession.
Yep. So what are your next steps? I mean, what is the AICPA working on next when it comes to D&I?
Yeah, well, we have several projects that we're working on. And one in particular is focused on leadership and CEOs and getting CEOs in Action for Diversity and Inclusion. And so this is a nationwide program where there are approximately over 400 CEOs from many, many different industries who have signed a pledge to create these inclusive environments, to really talk about inclusion and to talk about unconscious bias and to share their best practices and their not so best practices. So really getting CEOs involved and creating that tone at the top. So our goal this year and next year is to get the top 100 firm CEOs to sign up for this pledge, CEO Action in Diversity and Inclusion. And so that raises the awareness for both the CEO and the organization and demonstrating the commitment that the CEOs have towards diversity and inclusion. Mm-hmm. So that's starting at the top. We will continue to develop webinars and toolkits to assist firms in their quest for diversity and inclusion. Our webinars will be focused more on the human capital, people skills, where we talk about unconscious bias, as well as what it means to create an inclusive work environment. So we will begin to focus more on the conversations around belonging, creating that culture of inclusiveness. So our webinars will begin to focus on that a little bit more. We will continue our pipeline activities and really working with diverse students and giving them the sense that the profession welcomes them. And one of the ways that we're doing this is with our Real CPAs campaign. And our goal here is to identify real CPAs who represent a multitude of backgrounds and thought processes and personalities so that, the next generation, they absolutely see themselves in the accounting profession and not the stereotypical view that maybe even some of their teachers are giving them. So we're really trying to change that perception and debunk a lot of the myths that the students have. So those are just a few of the many, many things that we have going on at the ASCPA.
Yeah. And that's a ton of stuff. How can we, and by we, I mean, the average accounting and finance professional, how can we help in that area?
First of all, attend the webinars. Attend the webinars. Educate yourself on different backgrounds and different people who you might be around, and be curious. Be curious about the people that you're working with. Curious, not in an integrity, not like I'm interrogating you in a creepy way, but in a very genuine way. And, asking questions. It's amazing how, I remember Dale Carnegie wrote a book on how to win friends and influence people. And I probably have that title backwards. But the basics of his book is being interested in other people. And when you're interested in someone else, they are then interested in you. And that genuine interest creates that connection. And if each of us can create that level of interest in each other, I think, like I said earlier, the one-on-one conversations will do more than any diversity training that we could do in pulling 100 people together. Mm-hmm. And so I would say as individuals, we need to become more curious about each other, not in a way that is critical, but understanding that, wow, we're all different. And you can learn something from, even the smallest encounter with someone. So that's my message of, individually, we need to do our part to make sure that we individually are creating a connection with people one-on-one.
Nice. If you could like paint a picture, Kim, of what the ideal kind of future-based accounting and finance organization looks like to you, what would that look like to you?
Well, we are at a time, I'm talking about belonging. And, I'm also looking at social media and I'm looking at all the relationships that I have with people who I've never met before in person. And so I'm looking to the future and I'm saying, wow, we're talking about belonging, but a lot of the technology that we have in place will allow us to create some of those connections, right? So in the future, I see technology really being more of a facilitator, more than what it's been in the past. Right now, I kind of see technology as it's pulling us back from those relationships. But my hope is that the accounting profession continues to leverage technology, not only to get our work done better, but to also create better relationships that we have with each other. I envision the accounting profession really looking like the communities that we serve, going global. You know, our client may not be in the same state, may not be in the same country. They're going to be across, you know, the hemisphere. And so I envision that regardless of where you are, you're able to adapt to those different cultures and clients that you're serving. And we can only get there if we're curious about those different cultures and if we genuinely possess an interest to learn more and to be more connected.
Well, Kim, it's been great talking to you about this. This is certainly an important subject and one we're going to be talking about more as time goes on. So just thanks for being here. Thanks for your insights and keep fighting the good fight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
That was Kim Drumgo, Director of Diversity and Inclusion at the AICPA. If you want to know more, visit aicpa.org/diversity. And for all of you Maryland CPAs out there, if you're passionate about this stuff, if you want to help to move the diversity and inclusion needle in Maryland, or even if you're just interested in learning more, the MACPA is building a community around this important issue, and I hope you'll consider joining the conversation. For more information, you can contact the MACPA's Chief Operating Officer, that's Jackie Brown, and you can reach her at jackie@macpa.org.